The scripture reading for this Sabbath, for this service at this time, came to us from 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 to 9. And because I need to see things in large print, I have this here so I can see my scriptures big and clear. I'm going to ask us to go back there. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 9. And we will start looking at God's word in the context of your theme today, which is single, complete, and empowered. And at the end of the day, we will see if that makes sense or it was an unwise theme. I would like us to read together, and I'm reading from the King James Version. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. This week, the Andrews family has been looking at the concept of the single person. And it is clear to me now, as I study God's word more and more, that the marketing of singleness has really gotten a raw deal. From you were a child, people are trying to partner with some little boy. Oh, you two look so nice together. And though I guess I didn't like it, I became a guilty parent myself. And so, Hamilton and I have been partnering Hamilton with Marsha Ray McBean, a family friend from they were babies. They were just months apart and the families were good friends. And we kept saying, but they, you know, so it makes sense. Ladies and gentlemen, please do not follow my mistakes. Leave God's children alone to find out who they are, to become. Because when God made a being that looked like him and had flesh by his choice that he could relate to, he did not make them man and woman at the same time. God created man. He made one person. And that one, whether we like it or not, ladies, was a man. God made man in his own image. And so the first being on the planet was a man, and he was single. He was not born married. And God knows why. Because too many of us, in attempting to fill empty voids in our lives, pursue relationships when we are not even yet knowing ourselves. In fact, many of us do not like ourselves. We cannot stand our own company, but we want to expose others to that dear company. And we run down people, literally, some of us, to be in the company of persons who we want to secure for ourselves to feel fulfilled. God, that's actually contrary to scripture. God created man in his own image. And yes, in the first two chapters of Genesis, chapters 1 and 2, we have the perfect human beings. Because he took woman out of man. He didn't make her from the dirt. Ladies, we were not created the same way. Is that a fact? He went in and removed from man. Well, in that man, clearly, are all the nations of the world. Does that sound theologically sound? Why am I saying that? Because of the sin of one man, all have sinned. Out of that one man came woman. And that woman was not put here to replace the man, God forbid. The woman, we women, were put here to be help suitable for the man. That's what it meant as meat. I, for all my life, thought that meat was some other strange phenomenon. I never did quite get it. But we were made to be supportive helpers of the man who got the job description to take care of the earth. To name the, and he did all of that before Eve came along, you know. God gave him the job to name the animals them. Did he not? Was the woman there yet? After God gave this man all of this work and he was busy doing what God told him to do. He was so busy doing his job, men, God calls you to be employed gainfully. To work. God made him. God looked at him. God communed with him. Eden was a communal ground where God could commune with man face to face. The single man. So ladies, if you meet a man who knows not God, why are you running him down? Men, those of you who pretend to know God, stop it. Because in no time your sins will find you out. The Jamaican saying, come Simeon, come live with me, two different things, still holds. Because we can dress up ourselves in the most beautiful garb, we can have the most wonderful language, but when we take it home, when we take the person home, we may have great difficulty relating the image that we knew outside to this person who is in the house with you. Hence the great danger of not understanding the difference between singleness and loneliness. Singleness is a God-ordained thing. He made human beings single. It's after Eve came that he said, man, see this woman now? I've made her for you. But when he made woman for man, he made woman for man for a specific purpose. Hear this now, men. All single men. If you have no intention of dressing the garden called earth, meaning take care of business, taking care of the needs of a family, because you're not even taking care of your own needs. Do not inflict yourself on somebody else. It's called infliction, and it's contrary to scripture. God gave man a job after he made him. He says, go and name the animals, go and dress the garden, go and do the things I tell you to, and we will just talk together. In fact, he was so busy, and I think we infer, and I'm not going to get into the theology of that, that the man looked around and said, only me one don't have anybody like me. Or did the scripture say that? Did the scripture say that? Does it? Did he say that he looked around and saw nothing like himself? Okay, we're hearing yes and no, and I will not take a vote. You're going to go back to Genesis and find out for yourself. In fact, I am going to encourage you for that to be your homework. Did Adam say, I am lonely, and I'm not saying it's yes or no. I'm throwing out the question. Did God's word say that Adam went to God and said, I cannot abide like this any longer. I am lonely. I need a woman. I see nobody like myself around. Everybody else, all the animals, have a partner. Mr. Elephant and Mrs. Elephant. Mr. Kangaroo and Mrs. Kangaroo. And he named them, so he knows. They were different physiologically. They looked different, and they operated differently. He was the man, the one man on the planet, human being. And as long as the Bible account of creation continues to be demeaned by many who are in the sciences, as I have come out of the geology and the geography and the, nothing wrong with the subjects. But when secular thinking is what guides the philosophies we believe in, then God's word becomes a fairy tale, a story, something that we qualify that, he could have taken 7 million years. That's why the Sabbath no longer is relevant. Because how do you deal with a 7 million year Sabbath? The seventh millennium? The reality is that we either take God's word for God's word or we dump the whole of it. Don't take some pieces and throw out others, because his word is his word. It represents his character. And the forces of hell from the beginning of time have sought to destroy God's word so that we could be turned into the monkeys they have told us we came from. We would believe anything and a lie if we turn God's word away as foolishness. So the great danger for those of you who may not have done paleontology, who may not have done all of the studies that look at the beginnings of man and the studies of fossils and have to pass the exams that subscribe to the varied theories of where man came from, I beg of you, the one science book you need for understanding where you came from, who you are, whether in your singleness or your togetherness, is God's word, his Bible. And so singleness means fundamentally separate, unique, original, special, special and distinct, complete in yourself, somebody all by yourself. If that's not how you are in your singleness, you are not even single. You are an incomplete being in your mind, not understanding that you need to be a complete being all by yourself. He is not going to finish you. She is not going to be your better half, because that's also not scriptural. Have we not just adopted the ways that are not of God but do not realize it? And it sounds so nice, you know, can we all do it? Meet my better half. No. Each one of you, if you're in a relationship, had better be two single, complete betters, because the worser half is going to tear down the other half. I don't know how many of you have, you know, listened to sermons put out by our dearly departed global evangelist who died tragically in the Bahamas recently. But he gave an example of experimentation with eggs. So, you know, you have two eggs. He's going to make an omelet. And he's saying a relationship is like an omelet. You have one egg and you have another egg. A two-egg omelet. Now, if one egg is rotten, is the example he used, and the other egg is good, you're going to make an omelet. So you break the good egg in the bowl, and you break the bad egg in the bowl. What do you end up with when you put that mixture in the pot? A stinking mixture. You're going to leave the room. You cannot have a good egg and a bad egg, put them in the pot, and have a palatable omelet. The stinking, rotten egg takes over and colors you. And so our women, have we not all sinned and come short of the glory of God? Who in the church don't see the right kind of man. Him no, have the right swag, you know, him don't have the right car, him don't have the right this, educational level not right. Oh God, there's no man in the church. And we go everywhere else looking for what we're looking for, and we tend to get what we're looking for. Often not a man of God, because we're so sweet and wonderful and beautiful, we swear we can bring him in. Because he loves us so much. Now, if a man loves you when you were accepting him as a rotten egg, why should he change? He got you on that ground. Why should he now change? If he didn't love you enough to change while you were dating, why would he change now that you're married? So a lot of the myths that enter our heads about marriage and singleness are what lead us astray, and it's all the plan of the enemy. Now, what God said to man was, it was God who said to Adam, it is not good for you to be alone. A God pointed out to him in busier work, busy, fulfilled and empowered in his singleness, doing his thing. Is that not what the word says? And so, because the Creator God, who abides in relationship in the Godhead, knows what is best for that which he created, because he knows the beginning from the end, said to man, you are fulfilled in yourself. You are busy employed in the tasks I've given you. You and I have a wonderful relationship, but I did not create you to be like this, because love
must have an object to love. And God wanted Adam to have somebody that looked like him to relate to. It is God who pointed it out. Is that not what the Bible says? Adam was single, complete, empowered, and doing his thing. If you meet a man who cannot manage without you, can't cook nothing, can't fold nothing, can't make a bed, can't make a decision, what are you? Okay. And so, am I making any sense? In the name of Jesus. So it's not good for us to be alone. And so the answer to singleness is not marriage. It's not running down somebody that you have to be with in that kind of way. Because alone means exclusive, isolated, in an isolated state, a solitary being, only one of your kind. That's not what God planned for man. Because that's not how God operates. God is love. Amen? God is love. And love operates in relationship. Now, woman, why would you want a man to take you unto himself if you feel incomplete in yourself? If you can't take care of what God put you here to do, you can't cook, you can't make a bed, you have no education, have no interest in any because you're looking to catch a rich man, because that's how you were raised. You're going to be sent off to boarding school in Switzerland so that you meet the right kind of Mills and Boone, Barbara Cartland, chateau-abiding man who will take you out of this life of poverty and ordinariness and whisk you off in his private jet to the Netherlands of the world, and all will be well. That's not scriptural either. Because the man is to take care of the woman, Bible says so. Excuse me? The man was put here as a complete being to be with a woman who God made as a complete being. Each one doing what God has given them to do so that the world and the animals and the earth and the trees and the plants and everything could be blessed. Now we have a problem, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters. Adam and Eve were perfect before sin. We are not in Adam and Eve's image, nor were they in God's image after they sinned. I hope I've not just blasphemed. Pastor, am I correct? Did they remain in God's image in their sinful state? When they had sinned, were they now just like God? Because God doesn't sin. So though we are made in his physical image, we no longer had his character as our character. An enemy planted a seed. And so now we have damaged man and damaged woman. What a more complicated situation to come together in. And so it is even more important now in the modern era. Since, and the modern era is everything after Genesis 1 and 2. That we recognize the importance of focusing on he who made us first to become a fulfilled being in our love for God and his love for us, in asking him to relate to the thorns that we have in our flesh, and some of us have very many, based on our genetic proclivities, our familial challenges, or our locations of birth, the diseases and issues that we have, or the mental traumas we have experienced in our lives. Damaged. And if there's anyone in here who feels they are not damaged, that's the first deception. And it's only through the grace of Almighty God who loved us and who saw the beginning from the end why we're able to sit here. I'm able to stand here and we're able to exist. It is by his love, his grace, and his mercy that we abide. So Genesis 1, 27 to 28 covers that. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Single, separate. And he put them together. Isaiah 46 verses 9 and 10 bring to mind another very critical point. Isaiah 46 verses 9 and 10. And what does it say? Are you able to find it? I will quickly move along. It is speaking to who God is, the God who made man and empowered him, man fully actualized in himself, man doing what God gave him to do, doing his job. Isaiah, tomato, tomato, it really ends up becoming a real language, a linguistic challenge there for many of us. Can we read together what God says in his word in Isaiah 46 verse 9 and 10? Together. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like him, like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird as I go unto 11, from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country, yea, I have spoken it, it will also bring it. I, God says, will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. If we actually believe God's word, then we being here is no accident. God from the beginning looked through the corridors of time and saw the end of all things. He is the beginning and the end. So once you are alive and on planet Earth, or have lived on this planet, God saw you. He saw me. There are no surprises with our Creator God. Is that agreed? No surprises. So from before he made man, God looked through the ages and knew that man would fail. And God still made man and put a provisor in there for our salvation from the things that were to come, giving all of us, every single human being, and I'm not trying to pun now, literally, but every one of us, the opportunity for eternal life. So he saw you. You think nobody knows your problem? You think nobody understands what you go through? Nobody else may, but God surely does. Long before you walked into the mess, he saw it coming. He loved us even before we knew we were going to turn our backs on him and curse him. And he forgave us long before, as long as we're willing to ask for it. And so God, the same God who empowered Adam at creation to be single, complete, and busy doing what God gave him to do, is the same God who is looking at your child, at your children yet unborn. Some of you feel you can't have any children. And the Lord says, if only you knew. Somebody's coming, but you don't know it yet. Some of us feel there is no hope. Our jobs are killing us. The economy is a mess. Travel is chaotic. The world is upside down. We're in the time of the end. Corruption and self-serving people abound. As it was in the beginning, though, so shall it be in the end. What do I have to say to those who are single? The Bible says, hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted, that are far from righteousness. Because if you think you're above God, he will bring near his righteousness, and it shall not be far off, and his salvation shall not tarry. And he will place salvation in Zion for glory, for the glory of Israel. My brothers and sisters, the word of God speaks volumes. And the messenger of the Lord made it clear that for all the words that are written in the book of God's testimony of himself, the Bible, God did not allow editors to edit out the errors of the apostles. Many of us, were we given the job to edit the Bible, I edit every day. That's part of my cannot avoid portion of what I do every day, except today. Hallelujah. We would have edited out when Peter denied Christ. We would have edited out when him chop off the ears of the man, because it just wouldn't be in keeping with, you know, the apostle. You know, we have to remove. The Lord is an honest God, and he calls each of us to be honest about who we are, because the first person we often fool is ourselves. Then we go out into the world with this performance, fooling or trying to fool everybody else. My brothers and sisters in Christ, I beseech you, therefore, that you and I present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. It says reasonable. It's not a major deal. It is reasonable. It is expected. And may we, in our imperfection, remember that he forgave us before we knew who we were. May we find out who we are by going to him so he can show us. His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. For many of us, being single may be the best thing, because the Bible also says, and I'm sorry, but I did encounter this too, his word is clear. When they were inquiring of marriage and how many persons would whatever after the many marriages, the Lord reminded them, do you not remember that I created them, man and woman? He created a single man. He created a single woman, and then he put them together. It is not going to be a situation where we who have anxieties and needs for our personal lives find that solution in anyone else. The only one in whom we can be actualized is in the Lord God. If a man knows not God, or a woman knoweth not God, can two walk together lest they be agreed? Can a strong ox be put beside a weaker ox? Then the task will not get done. And can two bad yokes, as we deal with a different kind of yoke, a bad yoke and a good yoke, be put together to give you a good omelet? No. So many of us who are now married have to deal with the reality that we are in it until death, and not until he kills you either, or you kill him. But you are in it as a vow before God, unless adultery steps in. That's what the word says. I didn't write it. And so some of us need to remain married until death, so that we do not pollute other people's lives, because it was not for the cause of adultery that we separated. Because some separations are critical so you can continue to live, because there are some men who did not understand that God made them stronger, with more muscle mass, with more brawn, with greater strength than woman generally. I'm an unusually strong woman, stronger than some men, it seems. I'm not too many, but. But the man was there to protect. His strength was to cover, protect the woman, protect the children, protect the garden, protect the animals, protect the waters. What have we done with our strength, men and women on this planet? We have beaten up our women. We have abused our children. We have violated the garden. We have raped the soil. We have overfished. We have overcut. We have caused soil erosion. We have degraded and destroyed to almost irreparable proportions the planet that God gave us as a gift. But is there any hope? Is there any hope that we may be encouraged? The Lord has given us his word with all of the messes of the apostles and the men and the kings and the people of the Bible times. So that we can look and see that, oh goodness, they messed up. But when they turned to God and said, oh Father, forgive, he forgave. The book of Judges in particular grieves my heart. But then, and we say, you mean they really did that again? Forgetting that is we are them. And they did that which was wrong in the sight of God. And the book of Judges starts like that. Nearly every chapter. Nearly every generation. And we look and we shake our heads. How could they? If I were alive in Jesus, oh please, the Lord knows why I let you born now. Because some of us would have been, for political and other reasons, being the ones to say, one better die so that the rest are we not dead. As they said in Jesus' day. And even though we weren't there, our sin took him there. So when we shake our heads at Herod and we say, how could Caiaphas do that? My brothers and sisters, many of us are worse. And the Lord is merciful, hence we're born in this day with an opportunity to see Caiaphas' mistake written in the word and not walk in those paths. And 9:30 is my deadline. And so the Lord in Proverbs 4, especially verse 8, reminds us that, well, let's look at verse 5. Proverbs 4, firstly verse 5. Let's read it together. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. And I'm going to read verse 4 right through, and I want us to listen and concentrate on what God is saying here. Because my people, the word of God says, are destroyed for lack of. And so when his word gives us the knowledge, we will never get it if we're not intimately buried into his word. It will be a strange thing to us. And when the delusions come, because we know not the truth, we will not know how to test the lie, because we never did see the truth. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 4 says, he taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. And we read 5, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Verse 6, forsake her not, that's wisdom, and she will perceive thee, preserve thee, love her, and she will keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. And the rest of it is still relevant. I'm going to go up to 16 because I feel it's so special today. She shall give to thine head an anointment of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son and my daughter, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not the path. And I want us to pay close attention to this, because many of us take an express bus, an express taxi, an express train, a one-way plane, non-stop, to the path of the wicked. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away, for they sleep not, these wicked men, except, and women, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. How many of us in our living run down the very people who are going to be our destruction? How many of us, for the sake of financial security, for the sake of the business acumen, for the sake of the praise of the world, for the sake of the things that are going to burn up at the last day, put ourselves, run down and seek out wicked men to be our business partners, our husbands, and for the wicked women, the wives? How many of us? And so in God's house, what a fractured, challenged church God has. But what an encouragement when he says, with all her spot and wrinkle, he who saw this and us from before the foundation of the world, provisioned to save us, to clean us up, to remove the spot and the wrinkle and the blot and all of the ugly things and present us perfect, blameless, faultless before his matchless throne, so that his Father could say, well done, good and faithful, enter into the joy of your Lord. This is us, spotted and wrinkled, but for God's love and mercy, but for the death of Christ on the cross and his resurrection and the availability of that unmatchless blood to save, we would all be lost. What a mighty God we serve. And to that I say, single, complete, and empowered, God made you single. If you're married, be single in your marriage in terms of your relationship with God, so that you can be the partner that the other person deserves. And each child of God deserves the best. Amen.